Why is it so hard to achieve a personal improvement goal? Welcome to another episode of Relearning Leadership, where we explore a specific leadership challenge and break it down to help improve your leadership, your organization, and even your personal life. I'm Pete Behrens, and today we're exploring the topic of setting, and more importantly, achieving personal improvement goals. So let's dive in. When was the last time that you set a personal improvement goal? Was it to eat healthy or get fit, maybe learn a new skill or delegate better as a leader? I remember pre-COVID days. January was one of the months of the year that I found the most frustrating. Not because of New Year's resolutions that I would set. In fact, I'm not a big proponent of New Year's resolutions. No, but it was the New Year's resolutions that everybody else set. Because what that meant was everybody came to my gym and crowded me out. everybody setting their fitness and health goals in the new year. But I learned in time just to be patient because, like clockwork, within about 6 weeks, mid-February, most of those people had gone home and gone to the, you know, back to their ways of working. Now, I come to find out this isn't a very uncommon thing. Research shows statistics. A study by the Statistic Brain Research Institute revealed that about 60% of people set goals. So take, you know, almost half of the population, we're not even setting goals, but about a little over half of the population will set goals. Now, the stat that's more concerning is the second one here, which is only 8% of those actually achieve their goals. Now, these are the people that go home in February. Now, why is this, right? Essentially, setting goals is fairly easy. Hey, I'm going to get fit, or I want to eat healthy, or I want to be a better delegative leader. But it's the execution that's hard. There was a quote that I use, not really a quote, but a statement that I use that I heard and it stuck with me. Most strategy fails in execution. Now you think about that word, strategy. Strategy lives between our goal and the achievement, right? That's the plan we put in place. And so we've all seen this before, right? We've seen that leadership team. They go off to an offsite. They play a few reindeer games or, you know, team building games. And, you know, they get jazzed up, they build a strategy, and they come back with all sorts of energy and likely a PowerPoint deck, you know, to boot. And they run an all hands meeting and hope to inspire everybody else on this new strategy. And sure enough, in a couple of months, just like my gym, we've gone back to what we've always done and new initiatives arise. And you know, you get the point. Google has studied this for a while and takes goals pretty seriously and have done something to the industry that's really kind of sparked it. And they've created something that are called OKRs, Objective Key Results. Now, OKRs have been popularized in the industry, and there's a lot of companies that have copied this mode, and, you know, for good reason. They've given kind of new life to how to maybe think about your goals and frame them. So take, for example, our desire to be, you know, healthier and fitter as part of our way of life. And what they'll do is they'll take that objective and they'll wrap it with some key results. And maybe these key results are about, hey, I want to read a book every month around exercise and diet. These are very specific, targeted types of, you know, results. Maybe it's about 20 pounds lost, you know, by vacation time. You know, maybe it's a number like 3 times a week I want to, you know, go to the gym. You know, or maybe it's I will not eat fast food for a month. You know, some of those kind of negative oriented goals. So what they're doing is they're packaging this in a way that it makes it a little bit more tangible. And a lot of companies are finding success as organizations to do these, and some people doing this individually as well. I actually find a problem with OKRs. And not that they're not okay. I just don't feel like they're hitting the whole person. And what I mean by that is they feel a little bit flat to me. Right? They're heady, they're logical, but they don't hit the heart, the emotion. And so the Google OKRs lack what I would consider the most motivational aspects of goals. Right? The first one is around that sense of purpose. Why? Why is this valuable to me? What is behind this goal? And this, you know, that's the dopamine that goes, the chemical in our brain that gives us that sense of connection, right? That gives us a sense of accomplishment, that gives us a sense of value. The second one, probably more powerful, is the adrenaline, right? That's the heart pounding, you know, lung-inducing fight or flight response, fear. And so the other side of the emotion is, what if I don't do this goal? Right? What if I don't accomplish this goal? So a better tool that I actually came upon, and better for two reasons. One is I discovered it sooner in my career from a company called Salesforce. And secondly, it's better because it hits on these emotional tangents that I believe are core to the motivational aspects of not just setting the goal, but accomplishing the goal, connecting to the goal. Now, V2MOM started with Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, back in 1999 when he started the company. They used the V2MOM to help set and accomplish goals. Today, tens of thousands of employees, every single employee at Salesforce creates a V2MOM personally. Now, they also create them for teams, they create them for departments, organizations, initiatives, things like that as well. The V2MOM is an acronym. It stands for the vision. That's similar to our goal or objective. But then we have the values, the heart. Why? Why is this valuable? How does it connect to who I am as a person? And then that's the two Vs, V2. And then we've got the MOM, the MOM. Right? This is the methods, the obstacles, and the measures. So the steps we're going to take, what's going to get in our way, and how do we accomplish this? Now, it's a bit of a geeky terminology, but I found that the holisticness of it is really, really powerful. So what we've done is we've repackaged it in something called the Catalyst Canvas. We call the Catalyst Canvas. And the Catalyst Canvas is really what we call something that will help focus, align, and accelerate that change, right? So that last part, the execution of this change. And so what we do is with the Catalyst Canvas, we lay it out. The canvas is like a grid. We throw that goal right in the center. We say, okay, my goal is to make health and fitness a priority in my life. Now, the first thing we ask is why now, right? Two keywords, why, the importance, now, the urgency, right? Connecting the importance and the urgency into our framework starts to get at the core behind this goal and the motivators that I might start to think, positive, purpose, negative, oh shit, type motivators that are going to help me accomplish this goal. Now, maybe that starts to introduce like, my kids are at the root of this, right? Being here, being able to do things with them as they grow, right, is critical. Or maybe it's about something I love to do, like skiing, and I want to be able to do that in the next 10 years. And if I don't stay fit and healthy, it's not going to happen. But it also might be about an integrative lifestyle, like, hey, I know that if I don't stay fit, my mind won't be as sharp. And so by connecting to those, we start to connect to the real meat of the why this is critical to us now. And also that urgency of, well, my kids aren't going to be around that long. And, you know, I don't have that much time, you know, remaining here. Now, the second piece here, and we start to explore this canvas in what's called a counterclockwise. So we start in the top left. Now we're moving to the bottom right. And we start to explore what we call the obstacles. Why is this goal going to be problematic to accomplish? You know, and all of a sudden this starts to draw out things like time. I don't have time. And maybe the emotional side of time, like, well, yeah, maybe I have time, but then I feel guilty. Like I get away from the kids or I can't help my wife, you know, manage the kids because I'm out on a 2-hour bike ride. Or maybe it's something just about that slippery slope. Like, okay, once I kind of drop off for a day, then it's hard to get back on. And so the obstacles are probably as real and as motivating and as problematic as the why and how. And so by laying those out, and all of a sudden our objectives and our measures start to become clear and start to help us understand. So maybe we pull in some of those numeric things like 20 pounds by vacation, or, you know, something like, you know, exercising 3 times a week. But maybe I can now start to incorporate some of my obstacles and my why. Maybe I do some activities with the kids more. Maybe that's a way I can combine my exercise and my purpose. And so you start to see how the model can integrate. And so the measures in the bottom right corner start to help connect the dots for us. And then finally, we have what we call the small steps. The small steps are going to be not just activities, but progress along the way. And so maybe what I can start to do is start to say, well, time's an issue. So maybe I've got to do this first thing in the morning. Maybe I set an alarm for 5:30 and that's the time I take when the kids are still asleep. Or maybe I can start to do things with the kids. Maybe I can start to do some cooking and you know, do stuff that will integrate healthy, but also spend time with the kids. And so again, by circulating our goal with an integrated view, we start to see both the mechanical and the emotional side of helping accomplish our goals. So I hope you found some value in the Catalyst Canvas, and I hope you don't become one of the 92% who start on a January and end on a February with your goals, but maybe more like the 8% who can set a goal, focus our goal, and achieve our goals. So I thank you for your time today and enjoy the journey.
Relearning Leadership is the official podcast of the Agile Leadership Journey. It's hosted by me, Pete Behrens, with analysis from our Global Guide community. It's produced by Ryan Dugan with music by Joy Zimmerman. If you loved listening to this podcast, please leave us a review and visit our website, relearningleadership.show, for guest profiles, episode references, transcript, comments, and more. And to relearn more about your own leadership, visit us at agileleadershipjourney.com.